Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word to us. And we pray this morning afresh that your Spirit would take your word and speak to us, strengthen us, guide us, correct us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. See a few young people down here. Do you know the name John Bunyan? Never met him? Okay. Well, you're not likely to have met him because he lived a long time ago. He lived in the 17th century in England. And that's a long time ago, isn't it? You were not likely to meet him down the street. He was what they called a tinker. Okay? Tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. Well, a tinker was a sort of mended pots. And in those days when people were very poor, you had a few pots and they'd wear out. You couldn't go down to a shop and buy another one. So you had people like tinkers who fixed those sorts of things. God found him and called him to himself, and he began to teach people about the Lord Jesus and got put into prison for it. And while he was in prison, he wrote a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. And it's a story about, you've probably heard perhaps that, of a pilgrim's journey from the city of destruction to heaven, the celestial city, as he called it. And there's a story in that which gets to what I was wanting to say today, and that's this, that at one stage when Pilgrim comes to the cross and he sees that Christ has died for him, and his sins, which are tied on his back in a big bundle, drop off and roll down the hill into a grave, which is really like the grave that Jesus rose from, and they're gone forever, absolutely gone. And he starts his journey to the celestial city. And along the way, he meets a friend called Mr. Hopeful. And Christian and Mr. Hopeful, they journey on. And they come at one stage along the road. There's a lovely meadow. And there's a fence with a stile. Do you know what a stile is? You know, a little steps up. Okay, they came to that. And they looked over it. And Hopeful said, "That looks good." And Christian says, "Yes." And then Hopeful says, "Well, we should stay on the path, but it won't hurt to come over here." So over they climb over the fence and they go along the meadow, and then they see a castle. And out of the castle, before they can get away, comes a huge giant called Giant Despair. And he takes them and he locks them up in jail. You know the story? He locks them up in prison and he comes down every morning and beats them almost to death. And one of the beatings, he says, "Now look," his wife called Mrs. Diffidence, they come down and they say, "Look, we don't want necessarily to beat you to death because that's painful. Just kill yourselves because you can't get out of this castle." And so is there there in the dark? Hopeful says, "I think I have a key that can get us out. It's been here in my pocket and I've never known." They took out the key, and in the story the key is called, can you guess? What helps in your Christian life when you're full of despair and it's dark and you're down and life's not doing the right thing for you? What's the key? The key is promise. God's promise. So he takes out the key. And with the key, they get out and they get away from Giant Despair and from his wife, Mrs. Diffidence. The verse that I wanted to read to you this morning is actually out of the Psalms. Listen to it. There's a word in there that you'll catch that you might be interested in. It's from Psalm 119, verse 41. The psalmist says, May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer those who taunt me. Never take your word of truth away from my mouth. The psalmist says there are people who want to taunt him. And in Pilgrim's Progress, Giant Despair and his wife, they're the ones that taunt them. But they're not the only ones. As the story goes on, his wife, who at first wouldn't have anything to do with what Pilgrim was doing, decided she would go with her children. So Christiana, the story says, picks up the children and off they go along the journey to the celestial city as well. They too find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus, but follow on. And they're put in the hands in charge in the story of a man called Mr. Greatheart. Mr. Greatheart is a strong man who leads them along, and he holds the promises of God firmly. But in the company with which Christiana travelled and her children, there were people like this. Mr. Ready to Halt. Mr. Ready to Halt. What about him? Well, Bunyan says in his story, he went to the celestial city on crutches because he was always faint-hearted, always feeble. But in the story, when he gets to the river that they have to cross to go over to the celestial city, the river of death, it says he left his crutches behind and went as powerfully as anybody else. Then there was Mr. Feeble Mind, you know, who couldn't hold thoughts in his head for very long. Mr. Feeble Mind, when he got to the river of death, he lost his feebleness and crossed over like the others. Then there was Mr. Fearing, who was always afraid that things weren't going to work out in the best way. But when he got to the river, he too crossed. And then Mr. Despondency and his daughter, Miss Much Afraid. They were locked up in the dungeon, in Giant Despair's dungeon, for so long that when they did get out, they simply limped to the end. But they did come to the river and cross to the celestial city. Bunyan was very clever in the stories he told. What was he trying to say? He was trying to say, I think, something like our passage, this little passage from Psalm 119. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Now, God speaks to each of us, whether we're younger or older, by nature of a promise. Warnings, first of all, but by nature of a promise. And the psalmist back then said, let your unfailing love, which is a powerful word in the Old Testament. It's translated differently, covenant love, legal love, but it really means commitment made when you don't have to make it, and commitment kept when the other party doesn't keep it. So when the psalmist is praying for God's unfailing love, he's praying for that attitude in God which makes who makes promises to us and doesn't draw them back when we fail. So he says, may your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me. And I don't know, older folk here in the congregation, you'll have your experience. But let me say to you, to those who are younger, you've probably experienced it all. You'll find the Christian faith is criticised. But let me tell you, there's an answer to every criticism. You'll find it treated with contempt. And you yourself might be challenged in your own mind to think whether, is this really true? But if you hold to God's promise, God will show you the way. And those of us who are older, who've struggled along in life in various circumstances, can have that security and that certainty because it is God who promises. And whatever the circumstances of life might be that in a sense taunt us, challenge us, the thing to do is to go back to the promises that God has given us. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, said the psalmist. Your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And just very briefly this morning, let me pull up some things you'll know well, but they're worth keeping in mind, and particularly on a Sunday morning. God is sovereign. God is the creator of heaven and earth. God is the maintainer of our existence. If God withdrew, as it were, his influence, everything would collapse. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And we need to fix our mind on that truth, so that as life around us swirls like a current, we don't lose perspective. A vast number of people around about us won't live with that perspective, and it's very hard to live in a situation where you're a minority. But we have that basic conviction, born to us by the word of God and the work of the Saviour, that God is sovereign and rules over all, and we look to him. We are his children through faith in him. The Lord Jesus brought about a complete and perfect deliverance for us. He took all our sin, and like in Bunyan's story, when the straps broke and they rolled off, there was nothing left. I don't know what's in your life, you don't know what's in mine. But it's all gone. It's all disappeared. God consults it no more, for Christ, when he died on the cross, took all that upon himself. Nor did he stay there, as we know. We confess it in the creed. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the moment, this morning, at this time, at the right hand of the power of God on high, and he rules the universe with the Father. And more than that, what does the Bible tell us? This morning, we prayed for ourselves. But did you realise that he prayed for you this morning? He intercedes for us constantly in the presence of the Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus speaks your name and my name. He says, they are mine. Keep them. Watch over them. And then, by the grace of God, we've been renewed by his Spirit. His Spirit has come to dwell within us. And though we struggle because we still have a nature which is affected by sin, we have been sealed for the day of redemption. In some of the old documents that we used to use in the church, they still used to do that sort of thing. Drop the wax seal on it, put the stamp on it, and that marked it as authentic. God has that's modern world for you. Don't be embarrassed. God has sealed us. You bear a mark on your life if you're a Christian. And God has sealed you. And he's claimed you as his own. And so those promises that this passage talks about, let your unfailing love come to me according to your promise, it includes the call that the Father has directed towards you and drawn him to himself. The whole history of the life, death, resurrection, ascension, glory and coming return of the Lord Jesus is for you. And the work of the Holy Spirit, who breathed over the formless universe and brought it to order, as Genesis says, that Spirit has sealed you as his own, as God's. What does the little text say? May your unfailing love come to me, Lord. Your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me. Nothing can challenge me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because I trust in your word. So let me read this little, this is a little thing from a devotional book called Streams in the Desert. It says, the strength of our faith is in direct proportion to our level of belief that God will do exactly what he promised. Faith has nothing to do with feelings, impressions, outward appearances, nor the probability or improbability of any event. If we try to couple these things with our faith, we are no longer resting on the word of God. Because faith is not dependent on them. Faith rests on the pure word of God alone. And when we take him at his word, our hearts are at peace. So, take it to heart. Because that man who wrote the story about the pilgrim had something else to say which is very insightful. Let me conclude with that. Unbelief, he said, has as many lives as a cat. You may kill it over and over again, but still it lives. It is one of those weeds that sleep in the soil even after it's been burned, and it only needs a little encouragement to grow again. So keep the promise of the King in front of you, and keep the weeds of unbelief cut very short. God bless you.